Okay, and we are live. Welcome to the 44th episode of the ARC English podcast. If you're new here today, welcome. If you're coming back, it's very nice to see you again. If you guys are watching this on Facebook or YouTube or even Twitch, if you have any questions throughout the stream, jump right in, ask away. We're going to be discussing everything that you need to improve your English speaking skills so you can become a fluent English speaker. Okay. And we have a special guest. So Sama, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, thank you, Avery. My name is Salma Chavana. I'm from Mexico, but currently living in the US, in Utah. And I am a polyglot. I speak six languages: Spanish, English, Portuguese, Chinese, French, and German. And currently, I create content to educate on how to learn these languages, mainly about English, but also about other languages, some tips. I create my own courses. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, sweet. And then other than your native language, which of those languages is your favorite, would you say? Which one do you enjoy using the most?
Well, that's a different question. Using, I think, Portuguese.
Okay.
Because I really love how it sounds. It is just like the phonetics. I love that. But I think English is the most useful. Like whenever I travel and everything, English is the way to go.
Of course, I would imagine. And then throughout your time educating people on languages in general too, what would you say is one of the most common errors that you see people make when they're trying to improve their speaking skills?
Okay. With the speaking skills, I think it is just the not trying.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
Sometimes when we try to speak, we have this expectation of doing it the most perfect way, or having no mistakes, or being fluent with the pronunciation and everything. And that creates a barrier because it is just the practice and the repetition that will make you be able to speak and be more fluent and have the confidence to talk. So I would say that.
Definitely, yeah. And I agree with that too. I've told my audience as well, if a lot of people ask me almost every day on Instagram, I'll get a new DM saying, how can I become a fluent speaker in English? How can I be well-spoken like a native speaker, almost like you? And then I say, well, if you're not where you want to be when it comes to your level of English speaking, it's simply because you are not speaking enough at the end of the day. It does come down to the repetition. If you're not seeing results really quickly, it's simply because you are not practicing enough. And it's hard because sometimes people fall into this trap where they're consuming a lot of English media. They're listening to a ton of English on YouTube, on Instagram Reels, on TikTok, whatever it is. They're consuming so much English content and they feel like they're immersing themselves. But they think that somehow that's also going to improve their speaking skills. But you have to physically train your mouth to actually speak in order to become a better speaker, for sure.
Yeah, totally. And there is also this part of active vocabulary and passive vocabulary. And of course, reading or listening to someone. And when you're not making that effort of bringing to your memory that vocabulary that you need to create a sentence, well, of course, it is going to be easier and less tiring to listen to someone or read something and be able to understand. But this part of taking from your memory, the vocabulary you need to be able to create a sentence, the structures and everything, it requires more effort. So that's why practicing and actually speaking and writing your own sentences and doing this effort is what is going to make you be able to speak.
Absolutely. It'll make it become natural, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I see some of you guys popping in here on Facebook and YouTube. So if you guys would like to support the platform, you can do so by liking the videos. I'm sure it'll help the algorithm spread the message to other people who are also trying to improve their English. And here, sorry, I don't know how to say your name, but hello, shout out to you. How would you recommend making a lesson for beginners? Making a lesson for beginners. Well, I'll let you go first, Salma. What is your advice for beginners?
Well, I think the first part, not only in English, but in any language, would be to get familiar with the phonetics of the language. So that part of the pronunciation, and also learning some vocabulary words, so you're able to have some kind of communication, even though you cannot create sentences or conjugate in different tenses or anything. So the goal of a language is to be able to communicate. But specifically for a beginning student, I would say I would go with some vocabulary and phonetics and being able to pronunciate and get familiar with the sounds. So with the time, you don't have that trouble of trying to pronounce them correctly because you already made some mistakes in the past that weren't corrected. I would start from there, and probably after phonetics, just to start like with a guide that we can get easily from any Google website. Just like how to start with maybe present tense, how to create questions in English. So some basic skills that are going to help you eventually when you see other resources, other articles, other videos, they will help you to understand what you're learning in that moment because you already have a base.
Right. And segueing on that note, for example, if a person knows the present simple, is it okay to explain grammar rules in their mother tongue? So that's another question I have for you, Salma. It's for someone who's at the absolute beginner level, do you think it's even useful for them to learn from a native speaker, or should they definitely be learning with someone who's bilingual in their native language and the English language?
I love this question because that is actually how I teach my students. And I think it is super useful for adults, young adults, adults, and to be able to compare their language with the language they're learning, because it is not the same thing to learn or acquire a language as a kid than being an adult, because your brain already thinks, for example, in my case, in Spanish. So that's the thing I have seen with my students. They're thinking in Spanish, and then when they get to English, they have this confusion and they're like, why is it not working the same way? Of course, it is a different language and it will work in a different way. But just being able to compare the languages, it doesn't mean they will be the same. It doesn't mean it will be a literally translation or anything, but comparing the structures. Okay, in Spanish, I'll put the verb in here. In English, I'll do it here. Or the adjective here, and in Spanish, it is in here. So having that comparison gives us a comprehension of what we have to focus on so we don't make those mistakes. Because if we don't make those mistakes with a repetition, we won't memorize the mistakes. So it is important to have that consciousness so we don't repeat and repeat and repeat the same mistakes again. If no one is correcting us, of course, if we have a teacher or a course or something that can correct us, that's awesome. But if we don't, we don't want to repeat mistakes again and again, because it will create a habit of making that same mistake. So I think it is very useful as an adult, specifically as an adult, to compare languages and just understanding the differences. And yeah.
No, absolutely. And especially in the beginning, just to set that foundation, like you were saying. I learned that the hard way when I had to learn French, because I live in the French part of Canada, and I was getting corrected on. I tried to do everything by myself at the beginning. That was probably one of the biggest mistakes I could make. You should absolutely try to use someone who knows what they're doing to get a nice strong foundation there, And once you can build those good habits, then you can go out on your own and you can actually exercise these skills on your own. But and I always tell people, it's always a good idea to get a grammar book in your native language that outlines the differences between the English language and your native language.
Yeah.
Because if you can put all of those pieces of the puzzle together in your head, it's going to make practicing all of the other skills a million times easier than it would have been if you didn't have that foundation, for sure. And speaking of which, I was going to ask you something related to that. So when it comes to the order of which skills you learn a language in, would you say someone should start with the grammar or the grammatical rules of the language they're trying to learn? Or would you say they should start with learning the most common vocabulary words in the English language? If someone had to pick one to start with, which one would you recommend they begin with?
I would start with vocabulary. Not necessarily that you learn 100 words or anything, but 20 words, 30 words, just to get this part of the phonetics that we were talking about, like the pronunciation, where you're learning some vocabulary words. And then when you already have some vocabulary, you know, the pronouns, some adjectives, maybe some verbs, then whenever you start learning, for example, present tense, some grammar, you won't be that frustrated because you will already know maybe three of the five words that are in that sentence. So that's very important for me to like be able to understand a little bit, and also this challenge of I don't understand everything, so I might translate the words I don't understand, but also being able to practice in that moment and really focus on learning the grammar. And I'm not also distracted with, I don't know any of these words. So yeah, I would start with some vocabulary words, practice phonetics, and also eventually, while you're making the sentences, you continue with that part, but also focus on grammar.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course you could do both, but if someone had to pick, then yeah, that would make sense logically. And we have another question here. What's the best method, in your opinion, to engage them in English conversation without them knowing any other tense? That's tricky. How would someone engage or practice their conversation skills if they don't know many tenses, or they have an extremely basic level of English grammar?
Yeah. I would just teach them another tense. I think it doesn't, like, it might sound difficult or challenging for someone to be like, no, I'm going to leave the present tense and continue now with present continuous. But in that moment, because you might compare it to your native language, the explanation might take 5-7 minutes, and then you can get the person to practice other scenarios with that new tense that you're learning. So I will push the student a little bit to try to learn a new tense and not only stay in the comfort zone of, I only know this tense. Maybe if it is like literally their first class or second class or something, okay, we can focus on getting vocabulary, but I wouldn't do that for more than 3 hours of study. Like, I would focus the first 3 hours on the first tense, and then I would recommend to learn a new tense, maybe present continuous, so they can keep getting vocabulary, but also like these different structures and tenses that they will eventually need. And also that will give motivation to the student, like, okay, I'm progressing fast. So, which is not necessarily that you already know the whole language, right? But it gives that motivation of, I can do this. It is not as difficult as I thought. So I would push the student a little bit after 3 hours of learning to learn something new and practice that for a little bit.
Right. No, that makes sense. That's logical. And then Georgia Faye, shout out to you, Georgia. Welcome back to the stream. Thanks, of course. Roland, hello from Germany. Okay. Shout out to the Germans and historian of freedom. Salma, teacher, where are you originally from? Her name is like Arabic.
I have heard that a lot, but I'm from Mexico.
Okay, there you go. Historian of freedom. There you go. Now, when it comes to resources or methods that people can use to learn English, so would you say that they really need applications? They really need certain types of texts? Or a better way to phrase this question is, Salma, which techniques or which methods did you use to become fluent in speaking another language? How did you go about that tangibly?
Yeah, I think with every language, it has been different. But for me, what I have done is I focus first on grammar, and I love books. So that has been important for me, like to use a grammar book that I can start creating some sentences, learning the different tenses, vocabulary, and everything. Also getting some exposure with other resources on YouTube, for example, to be able to listen to the language. But for me, what made me, because I've been learning English since I was like 7 years old.
Right.
But it was until I was like 19 or something that I started teaching Spanish to English speakers, and I started doing that as a full-time job. So now, because I was teaching them Spanish in their language, making this comparison, I was pushed to be talking in English the whole time. And that is what made me really make the click of the language and just be more confident about talking and not thinking the whole time in Spanish and everything. So I think it is just exposing yourself to do it. I don't think it is a specific resource we need to be able to speak the language. I think it depends on every person, but getting resources that you like, that motivate you, that make you feel that you're progressing, that it is not boring, that it is challenging enough. Yes, because it is, but at the same time, enjoyable. And just like exposing yourself a little bit with any resource you have or any resource you like, the thing you like the most, I think that is what is going to make us be able to start talking.
Okay, I see. Because yeah, like I would say that most of the audience listening, they're probably at like the B1 or B2 level, essentially. They're probably at the intermediate level, the majority of the audience. So let's say they can understand English. They can understand most of what we're saying right now. They can get by in English, so to speak. However, they still speak kind of broken English. Sometimes they hesitate. Sometimes they kind of block themselves. What would you say would be the quickest way for someone to go from like the B1 level up to like the C1 level when it comes to speaking in English?
Yeah, I think it would be about vocabulary. On the first levels, A1, A2, B1, I think the most challenging part is grammar. And of course, getting vocabulary, but it is the grammar that would make it more complex at the beginning. But then from B1 getting to B2, there is this gap about, yeah, like still grammar, yes, but I think it is more vocabulary, more complex vocabulary. So I would focus on that. Like if you're already on B1, probably you are able to have conversations, like a daily thing, or maybe do some readings about articles or a book or something. But getting to that level, maybe to be able to read a scientific paper or a more complex book, or having a negotiation or something, it is going to be about vocabulary. That's what I think. So I would focus on that. If it is writing vocabulary, writing sentences, reading more and translating the words you don't know, and not only trying to learn, focusing on context, like, because I understand this I can imagine this word means blah.
Exactly. No,
because it is your moment to study. Whenever you're outside, okay, don't translate if you don't want or anything and learn from the context. But if you're focusing on studying right now, 1 hour, like actually study and use that time to translate the words you don't know and make your list of vocabulary words.
Yeah, so I agree with you and I disagree with you. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
For each one.
Yeah.
So I agree that it kind of depends on the learner, because I would say for some people, especially someone maybe even like yourself, you have a lot of experience mm-hmm. learning languages. There are going to be mm-hmm. certain people who have more experience than others. I would say that for some people, I'd say the most important thing is that you can understand the majority of what you're consuming. I think if you're someone learning English and you're listening to a really advanced piece of media mm-hmm. and you can only understand like 40% or 50% of what they're saying, you're just going to get very frustrated and you're really not going to see a lot of progress very quickly.
Yeah.
And if you have to stop and translate every word every 2 seconds, you're not even watching the content really. You're just like basically looking words up. You should be able to understand the majority of what you're listening to. And then once in a while, they'll use a word that you don't know. And then you can figure out what that is. Now, when you come across a word that you don't know, there are different schools of thought of what you should do. I personally recommend that you try to guess what the word means based on the context by which it was delivered. Like okay. I was scratching my head and I said, this is an enigma. A lot of people might not know what the word enigma means, but they can kind of guess that it means that I'm confused about something. Mm-hmm. This is puzzling. It's an enigma. So, yeah. I mean, in situations like that, I'd say, especially for people at the B2 level, like mm-hmm. or close to the advanced level, I would not get too bogged down in like trying to research like every single word that you don't know. In some cases, you can kind of just hear it, say, okay, I can clearly guess what this means based on the situation. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll even add it to my active vocabulary and I'll start using it. To be safe, what you said is like technically like a more beneficial way to learn, because you can actually look up the definition and actually see what enigma means and know when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. It depends on what the learner's goals are, though, because if they want to go into work for a big business and do important negotiations or have more sophisticated conversations, then yes, it's true. They should know what these words mean. However, if they just want to get by, they just want to travel, they just want to be able to navigate their way in the English language fairly easily, mm-hmm. they don't really need to know in depth all these vocabulary words, I would say.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you. Like, if it is something specific, like a specific vocabulary you should know, for example, for business or something, like if you need to know the vocabulary words, focus on that, because that is going to be beneficial for you. But that's true. Like, whenever you're learning a language and you get exposed to the culture and native people and everything, you will start learning words that might not have a translation on your own language, or the translation would be so weird. Oh, sorry, I think I cut. Like depending on what you need and also getting vocabulary, like natural vocabulary that native speakers would use, is very important. And you will just start getting it from the context that you're living. The thing is, a lot of people cannot have this type of exposure with a lot of native speakers, or maybe what you were saying about, for example, watching entertainment on the language. And of course, it's going to be very frustrating to stop every 2 seconds to translate a word. I think maybe in that case, if the person cannot understand a lot of the content he's watching, maybe it's still still a moment to be focusing on getting even more vocabulary to be able to really take advantage of that entertainment. Because if not, it is not studying, it is entertainment. Like, for example, some people watch Hollywood movies in English with subtitles in Spanish, but because they don't have the basics yet, they feel they're not getting anything from the movie. And that's right, because we need the basics. So what you were mentioning about understanding a 40% or something, it's super important to really take advantage of that time and get more vocabulary from context and practice structures that you've been learning and everything. So I guess it would just depend on the need you have. Yeah, and like,
it would depend on the goal of the learner, essentially, what they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, totally. And also recognizing that it is perfect to have different resources and even just use it as entertainment. Like, not everything has to be like, you have to study hard to get the language. I think this part of entertainment and just exposing yourself, getting familiar with the sounds, with the culture and everything is also super important.
Yeah, definitely. And the culture, yeah, that's underrated, because a lot of people learn the English language, but they still communicate with the figure of speech of their native language, or they still practice the culture of their native language, I guess. And then that's not like socially normal in a lot of English situations, for sure.
Yeah.
I see that all the time.
That's true.
We have some chats here. Paridi JF, what's up, Arc English? Sac passé. J'espère que tu vas bien, Paridi. And Mauricio, hi, dear friend. Hello. Shout out to you. Welcome back, Theo. Hello from Kigali, Rwanda. Okay. Nice. Shout out to the Africans here. And Rita, hello from Myanmar. Okay. Cool. Welcome. So, Salma, I was going to ask you something related to what we were just talking about. So, right, when it comes to listening comprehension, we know that listening and speaking, they can go hand in hand. Listening is a very useful skill to improve your vocabulary so that you can speak as well. So,
yeah,
a couple questions. So the first one we'll start with is subtitles. Subtitles or no subtitles. Let's say for most of the people watching, they're at the B1 or the B2 level, intermediate.
Yeah.
Which one would be more beneficial for them? Should they still be referring to subtitles at this level, or should they challenge themselves to consume media without, or even both?
Yeah, for me, subtitles. Like, even though, well, in my case, even if I watch a movie in Spanish, I would use subtitles in Spanish, and it is my native language, because for me, having this visual part, I don't know, I just like it. There is this tool, it is like an extension that might be useful for all the students. It is called Language Reactor. And this Language Reactor, you're able to use it on Netflix, YouTube, and it allows you to have the subtitles in English and also on your native language. And when you put your mouse on the word, it would give you the pronunciation and the translation of the word while you're watching Netflix with both subtitles. So for me, that tool has been super useful with learning languages, because even if I understand maybe a 70% of the language, I might, in one sentence, I might not know one word in there, but being able to translate it that fast and have an example right away and hear the pronunciation is like, okay, I learned something. I'm in another moment of the learning. I already understand a 70%, for example, but I am able to continue studying while watching a movie. So for me, that is very efficient.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, you're going to have to, after the stream, you're going to have to tell me what that is.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of starting to learn Spanish. That would help a lot. That'd be very efficient. Yeah, because especially if you're learning a language for such a long period of time, like all that time saved, yeah, that really does compound for sure, though.
Yes. And
that, yeah, that I was going to say, the second thing is subtitles. Okay, that's fair. And then when it comes to choosing the media that you watch, so when it comes to consuming dramatic TV shows and movies, like superhero movies or something that's extremely fictional, or consuming media like a conversation, like the one that we're having right now, mm-hmm. or a podcast or an interview or a YouTube video where they're doing something in real life, which one do you think would be more beneficial to someone's learning? Should they be doing both, or should they be focusing on one more than the other?
Yeah, I think it would depend on the level of the student. Like if it is a very basic level, maybe listening to this like conversations that are almost like for books or something that is very basic, with conversations of introducing yourself or what did you do today, so they can practice some vocabulary. But after that, I think maybe listening to TED Talks on YouTube, and you can modify the speed with subtitles to get vocabulary, be listening, get exposure to the language. If you advance more on the language, maybe listening to audiobooks, listening to podcasts. And well, even if you don't know the language very well, you can also expose to these things. The thing is, if a person is beginning on the language and they are listening to a book or a movie and trying to not use subtitles, for example, it might be very frustrating. That is like, no, it can be impossible to learn this language, or it will take me a lot of time. So I would recommend to have objectives, like specific goals, depending on your learning process, and just focus on that. Like if you're beginning, don't try too fast to listen to an audiobook, recognizing that maybe it is not the time yet, and that is only going to make you frustrated and not take advantage of the resource you're using. So that's what I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And yeah, it'll definitely depend on what level you're at, for which one you should use. And then that even ties in a little bit with subtitles too. At the beginner level, I think of course you should be using subtitles. That tool you described would be extremely useful for a beginner of any level, for any language, I would say. And then, yeah, at the intermediate and advanced, there would be some extra context that's needed depending on what your lifestyle is, and how you want to be able to apply the vocabulary that you're consuming, for sure. Sure. Red Flow, you say, hello from the Philippines. Okay, cool.
Cool.
Shout out to the Philippines. Wow, this is a big message. Okay. Mauricio, thanks for this great English class you're kindly sharing. English is really important and a universal language that we should all study and speak, as it's changing, specifically in this historical present. English is hard, but it really pays to study it. Its vocabulary, verbs, extensive vocabulary, and idiomatic expressions are undoubtedly... Okay, sorry. It's a long message. It's a long-winded message here. And at the end, you say, thanks so much, sir, for your beautiful English classes, but English pronunciation is really hard. Okay. English pronunciation. Salma, what can Mauricio do to improve his English pronunciation?
I think... So it is a lot of things combined. So... A lot of people think that you would improve your pronunciation by talking, but it is also about listening. So this part about just having a class about phonetics, I have one on my YouTube channel, if that's okay to share. You can call me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I can see Mauricio might be from a Spanish-speaking country because of his last names. Mm-hmm. And just having this context of phonetics in English and also listening to English, so you're able to get familiar with the sounds and then replicate those sounds when you speak. But because we're adults and our muscles in our mouth already work different because of how we talk in our native language, it is going to require practice. It is just about that. So don't get frustrated if your pronunciation is not perfect, because that's okay. It is your not, it isn't your native language, and people know that. And that's totally fine and more than perfect, because it is like awesome that you're learning English and you're challenging yourself. So it is also part of the process and accepting it, working on it, of course, but not having this perspective of it is really bad and I cannot go through it. Like, no, it's totally fine to have some problem with pronunciation and just keep using the tools and keep studying, keep working hard. And if you're already doing the job, if you're already studying, if you're already pushing yourself to have conversations, it will eventually happen as a consequence. If you're doing the work, it will happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, it will happen. And it can get discouraging. I totally understand, because you're super excited. Maybe you watched a video, you're all galvanized. You found some new ways to learn the language. You're picturing and imagining yourself being fluent in a new language. It's really exciting. But then you start practicing really hard for a whole month straight, and you don't see immediate results. You still aren't very good. And then you practice another month, you keep your spirit up, you still can't really converse fluently. And then you go another month. So it definitely takes time. You're going to need to exercise some patience. Of course, it depends how much time you put into it. I've seen some people become conversational in a matter of months, but they were practicing literally 8 to 10 hours every day. Not most people don't have the time to do that. Yeah. So, do exercise patience. And of course, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose by practicing and exercising your English skills with other English speakers. So definitely take advantage of those opportunities. Most people will be mature enough to understand that English is not your first language, like Selma said, and they will actually try to help you have a conversation with them. Most people will.
Yeah.
Sure. Then Sheikh says, I'm going to take my speaking test on the 9th of October. I'm scared. Well, look, Sheikh, my two cents is, if you don't know how to say something or if you don't know a word, try to find another way to express it. That's always a strategy you can use, so you don't just block yourself completely. And then also just take your time as you articulate yourself. You don't have to speak super quickly. But Salma, do you have any advice for someone during an English test where they're actually going to get graded on their vocabulary and their pronunciation?
Yeah, because it is in 2 days. And you might feel you don't have a lot of time to prepare and everything. Maybe if you already have an idea of what type of conversations they're going to ask you or something, you can prepare something. Like right now that you're studying, you can get vocabulary for this specific topics that the teacher told you she's going to ask you about. Like organizing a party or applying for college or something. So if you already know some topics or have an idea of other students that have taken this test already, it would be very helpful for you to maybe do some sentences by yourself or get some vocabulary about a specific context, and you might feel more prepared for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sheikh, he says, thanks. Okay. Welcome, Sheikh. I'm from Malaysia. Okay, cool. So if there are no other questions, you guys, we're going to wrap it up here. If you have any last minute questions, now is the time to ask. And Salma, before we close up, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube with my name, Salma Chavana. And also I have my English courses for Spanish speakers with the website salmachavana.com, which is everywhere in my name.
Okay, sweet. And we'll put it all in the descriptions below for the different platforms. If you're listening to this on Apple Music, Spotify, any other podcasting platform, you can play this back or you can find it there for the people who are on social media. And you'll have everything you need to find Salma, especially if you're a Spanish speaker, because I know there are some of you guys in my audience as well. So definitely check out Salma's stuff there. And for us, it's just ARC English on all platforms. We're super easy to find. ARC English. That's it. All podcasting platforms, all social media platforms, you know the deal. And one last question here. Sheikh, what if I get stuck at part three? And what should I do at that moment? Should I pass the question or any tips? What would you say, Salma?
Stuck at part three of your speaking test? Or what do you mean?
Yeah, you might want to elaborate a little bit, Sheikh, but if I understand correctly, if you get stuck at a later part, should you pass the question or write? Should you like pass up the question? Yeah, follow-ups. Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question. Oh, follow-up questions, I see.
Okay. If you get stuck, well, if it is like you're having the conversation in a moment and it is not like a computer asking you, you could ask the person to repeat the question.
Yeah.
And that might give you a little bit more time to think about your answer. But I think it is also this practice of being able to improvise in the moment. So the thing with test, it is not only to learn and know the language, but it is a test. Like if it is a science test, a math test, you might know math, but in a test, it might get a little bit difficult. So also challenging yourself or putting yourself these exercises of trying to improvise and get some sentences depending on a specific question or something might help you get that skill of improvisation. But yeah, I think you can ask the teacher to repeat the question and just try to improvise the best you can. And I think you will do great.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's totally acceptable. When I had to take a language test too for the French language, I did the same thing. If they said something too fast or if I didn't understand, yes, you can ask follow-up questions. It's completely acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boran, I have a dream that I'll talk to you online. How can I fulfill my dream, please? yeah, just join the live. Sometimes we let people jump in actually. And then they can join in the conversation. So just follow us on social media and yeah, you can talk to us live. Sheikh, thanks. Really, you guys helped me a lot, of course. Our pleasure. Okay, and that's all for today, guys. If you'd like to support the platform, you can do so just by liking the video on whatever platform you're on. And if you have any questions at all, we will be making podcast episodes answering your actual questions. So if you have a question that you want us to make an episode on, just leave it in the comments below. Or if you're listening on a podcasting platform, you can just email us at arcenglish123@gmail.com. And that's all for today. Until next time.
Thank you.